All right. I think I had you guys waiting long enough. Welcome back to the Meatweed Podcast. Let's get right into it. I got to tell you something right now. This episode is not for the faint of heart. And quite frankly, I don't know how else to explain it. It's one of those episodes that is a bit more serious. So I am going to try to treat it more with a bit of seriousness. Thing is, this was originally going to be a Morbid Universe episode, but I'm still on the fence about keeping it or not, right? It's 50-50 right now. And quite honestly, I'd rather just do this, you know, serious episodes on occasion. Anyway, we're going to be talking about the Donner Pass incident and the whole reason that it's named that, right? The Donner Party. If you guys don't know what the story is, it's okay. I'm going to enlighten you this whole podcast episode. It's basically just that. And wow, honestly, there's quite a lot to cover, right? Every single thing I saw, there's a whole documentary, but there's also a lot of things that people got wrong. There's a lot of people thinking, okay, they killed people and they decided to eat each other because they were in a fit of desperation, starving. And people jump to that, right? But they don't realize how much other stuff came from it, right? The Donner Party, there's a lot about it, right? And even Tasting History at some point cooked something that they did. And quite frankly, I was a little worried. But once I learned more about it, I don't know. History can be interesting. It's just, I wish it wasn't repeating itself right now. Anyway. I'm a sucker for history. You guys already know this. It's not even a big secret at this point. If I were to go back to school, most likely I'd be a historian of some kind. But truth is, I don't think I'd want to be a teacher of any kind, you know? Like, I love talking about history. I love studying it. I love learning from the past and everything that it has to offer. It's just, some stories are a bit dark, admittedly, okay? But before I continue with this episode of the podcast, I do want to give someone a shout out on Twitter, just because I think they're cool. Also, because they bought a Panera supercharged lemonade for me. I mean, they're over the internet, so I couldn't have it, but you know, still, they'll drink it on my behalf. Shouting out, I hate Eminem on Twitter. It's a funny name. I hate with an A, you know, I-H-A-M-N-M. They're really cool, honestly. I don't know, they're just a cool person. That's the whole reason I'm shouting them out, okay? Also, thank you for the turbocharged lemonade. Drink it with caution. Going back to the topic at hand, the Donner Party was... Let me summarize it for you, okay? I've got a little summary here, you know, Wikipedia being your best friend when researching. The Donner Party, sometimes called the Donner-Reed Party, was a group of American pioneers who migrated to California in a wagon train from the Midwest. Delayed by a multitude of mishaps, they spent the winter of 1846 to 1847 snowbound in the Sierra Nevada mountain range. I've been there before, by the way. It's not pretty during winter. It's very hostile, seriously. Some of the migrants resorted to cannibalism to survive, primarily eating the bodies of those who had succumbed to starvation, sickness, or extreme cold. But in one case, two Native American guides were deliberately killed for this purpose. They were killed for their meat. Now, there's a reason that I'm talking about this, okay? The Donner Party isn't just something that I pulled out of nowhere. Currently, in Donner Pass, which is still a thing, right? There's a road that goes there now, right? It's all modern. There's no wagon trail. You can drive a car through it now. It is still dangerous. And the reason I'm saying this is because I've driven there myself, okay? Years ago, when this podcast first originated, I was talking about my over-the-road days. Back when I was a truck driver, back when I was stuck in the snow, there was this thing that happened where I was driving with tire chains and I was sliding off the freeway and I fell off in a massive 16-foot truck, you know? And it wasn't pretty. I was only going 20 miles an hour, thankfully. But that doesn't stop from the fact that the highway patrol and various people had to get involved. They all had to pull me out, push me, and they said, don't stop driving as soon as you move. Seriously, you will fall again. And I did, and I was able to get out safely. But damn, snow driving is no joke, okay? And I'm telling you right now, snow driving is one thing, but these people went on foot. That's insane, okay? Me thinking about it, the Midwest, California, Nevada, all of the places that this Donner Party went through is a lot of ground to cover, okay? A YouTuber, in fact, went through the same pass. It took them, by car, they were going 80, 90 miles an hour, really fast, by the way, and it took them 3 whole days to do the Donner Party in a car. It took them almost basically a year walking on foot. And by the way, damn, like the entire thing was such a catastrophic failure from day one, mainly because Donner himself never went on the path. This was his first time voyaging through it, right? And the problem being is that a lot of people get things like, they leave out key details. For example, the Donner Party actually started in a well-known path, right? They were taking the Oregon Trail. The problem was, at some point, they took what's called the Hastings Cutoff, okay? They go north, essentially, instead of heading south. And honestly, if you know anything about the Midwest, you want to head south because you don't hit as much winter storms, you know? You don't hit that big risk. It's a bit longer, sure, but at the same time, not really, okay? If you look up on the maps, right, Google Maps, maybe that's the problem, right? Is that if you look up on Google Maps and you do the Donner Pass, you start at Independence, Missouri, and end at Donner Pass, right? It's a long trip. 22 hours, that's a lot of fucking miles. It took people 4 to 6 months to finish it either way, okay? You might as well take the safe route. At least, like, it'll be longer, sure, but you'll make it alive. And, of course, the problem being is, again, it's a lot of problems. I don't know why I said that. I keep summarizing it that way. Let me continue. The main trick behind traveling across this Oregon Trail, regardless of which path you took, is it took 4 to 6 months. Think of it this way. You want to avoid winter, okay? So if you start going at the end of winter, there's a chance that when winter's starting again, you're going to make it there. But the problem is, whatever cattle you have needs spring grass to eat in order to continue. If they do not have grass, they can starve. So you're either facing freezing or your animal's starving. And your animals are needed to carry your wagons, right? And they're also used to carry a lot of food, provisions, you know, mostly hardtack they were using back then, dried meat. Pemmican was a big one as well. Pemmican absolutely carried the Midwest. It absolutely carried the 18th century, basically. If you guys don't know what I'm talking about, look at Townsend's. And he goes into great detail about it on YouTube, Townsend's, right? It talks about pemmican, the food that saved the nation. Because back then, a lot of people, yeah, they knew how to eat, right? They knew they had to eat a variety of foods. Pemmican, of course, being very easy to carry, and it lasted a long time without refrigeration, which they didn't even have back then, or being salted, which is more important, because a lot of salt was needed for curing meats so they could take it a lot further. Pemmican, on the other hand, is just a really fatty thing, so it never does. Like, they could bury 20 pounds of pemmican, dig it up in a year, and it'll be fine. You'll still be able to eat it. Anyway, there was actually a guide written at the time called The Emigrant's Guide to Oregon and California by Lansford W. Hastings, which is who made the Hastings Cutoff. This is really important to the story because if it wasn't for this guy, Hastings, who never even went through his own path, or he did once, if I remember. Okay, he did once in 1846, but it was to go somewhere else. Somewhere else entirely. Admittedly, there's a lot of characters in this story, right? Now, I say characters like they're not real people. No, there's a lot of people in this story, right? I'm trying to give you the most summarized version of it that I can. But there's a lot of them, okay? Seriously, if you look up the history, I truly recommend this video called True Horror, The Cannibalistic Tragedy of the Donner Party. Look it up on YouTube. It's by a guy named Roanoke Tales. He's really good at it, honestly. He describes it in far more greater detail. I just want to give, like, the gist of what happened, you know? Of course, it is important to know this little detail. This little detail is kind of important. A lot of people reading the story don't understand how big of a difference it is. Because most wagon trails follow the Oregon Trail, right? It's a route from a starting point in Independence, Missouri, to the continental divide of the Americas, traveling about 50 miles or 24 kilometers a day on a journey that usually took between 4 and 6 months. The trail generally followed rivers to South Pass, a mountain pass in present-day Wyoming, which was relatively easy for wagons to negotiate. From there, pioneers had a choice of routes to their destinations. A lot of people went on this trip, and they would always take that route, right? The Hastings Pass, that was not even a common known route, right? It was only for people settling on foot. The rest of the route, the regular Oregon Trail, that was perfect for people with wagons. So big wagon parties would go that way. The problem was the Hastings Cutoff, only good for people on foot, and it was written by a person who never even did it. right? He saw some maps and he thought, yeah, you know what? That looks fine. I'll do it this way. This one looks fine. When he went on his own path, it was him and like two other people. And they made it fine, but they struggled with the very steep mountains in Nevada. Really steep mountains, okay? Not only that, because of the coastal wind, they get significantly more snow, which is really bad for a big group of people who are moving slowly, right? That's the problem. And think about wagons. Think about how wagons, their big ass wheels always get stuck in anything, right? They'll get stuck in the mud, and if a horse can't pull it out, everyone's got to gather up and pull it. And if people are sick, they can't be of any help. They got to get off the wagon to limit weight. I'm saying this because I remember from, a lot of people remember from Oregon Trail, right? The video game. I never played it, but I'm actually remembering from the beginning of Red Dead Redemption 2, because the wagon wheels would break, right? And if they broke, a lot of weight would list into that side and it would just collapse. It'd be way harder to lift up. People who got sick or they had the consumption, you know, tuberculosis, would actually go to California or, yeah, specifically to California in order to see if they could get, like, more, what's the term, drier air, basically. They thought that by going to this drier climate that they would be able to breathe just a little better, which wasn't the case, but, you know, I'd rather die in California than somewhere else, right? The fuck does that mean? Anyway, let's cut up the fat, okay? Let's skip right to the spot where people know that they were fucked, okay? Because a lot of people know Donner Pass for one thing, and that's the cannibalism. But let's jump ahead, okay? Because we're talking about when they were just starting way back in the past, right? They were like, the last 100 miles of the path is the most dangerous, and that's when this happened, okay? I'm not going to talk about the entire path of Illinois, how they were like, oh, this is a big river, we got to cross it. They cross it, and they lose a lot of stuff. It's like, yeah, okay, we get it. We've all played Oregon Trail, except me. I'm sorry, let's be more serious in this next part. Okay, so the Donner Party reaches the base of a mountain, and they're faced with a one last push over the mountain, right? They described it as something much worse than the Wetash Range, which is, looking into it, it's pretty bad. The problem is, the Donner Party had been told that it was October 20th at the moment they made this decision. They had been told that there would not be snow until the middle of November. So they thought, okay, we got time to rest. And they did decide to keep going. The problem was, they were actually hit with an early winter storm and they were snowed in early November. They were hoping that they'd get more ground covered, but unfortunately an early snowstorm came and really messed everything up. This is when shit was hitting the fan, and at this point, things were slowing down dramatically, okay? They went from an average of 15 miles a day to basically nothing. At this point, most of their fate is sealed, right? 84 members in this entire group. This wasn't a small party. This was a lot of people with a lot of wagons, a lot of cattle, a lot of food, and surprisingly a lot of children. The problem was, you get all of these people, most of them inexperienced mountain goers, right? They're not even supposed to be in the mountains. They have to go through the mountains in order to get to where they're going. The problem is, they picked one of the worst mountain ranges to cross. Again, it would be much easier to cross on foot, but they had wagons, a lot of wagons. This wasn't a small group by any means. This was a very large party. In an event that I would say was very foreshadowing to them, William Pike, one of the most important people in the trail, was actually killed when a gun that was being loaded by William Foster was discharged negligently, right? He was aiming at him. He wasn't intending to kill him, but he fired it and it killed William Pike right then and there. And again, this was because he was being negligent with the gun. One thing you have to understand about these trails is that this is the Wild West. People didn't have a jurisdiction, right? People didn't have a jury, trial, execution, none of that stuff, right? They dealt their own justice. And of course, because it was an accident, I guess they looked the other way at this point. I mean, don't get me wrong. If somebody killed someone by accident, I would be freaking out. I'd be pissed. But, you know, desperate times. After they had begun traveling again, they went a few miles further and an axle broke in one of the wagons. Of course, two people, we have names here, okay? We have Jacob and George. That's all it says. Jacob and George went into the woods. They fashioned a replacement. George Donner sliced his hand open while chiseling the wood, but it seemed to be a superficial wound. Of course, back then there was no anesthetic. Looks can be deceiving. At this point, snow begins to fall. And, you know, that immediately, you know, that's the bell tolling. You know, ask not for whom it tolls for thee. they went up the Breens, at least, made it up a massive, nearly vertical slope, 1,000 feet to Truckee Lake, 3 miles from the past summit, and camped near a cabin that had been built 2 years earlier by 3 members of the Stevens Townsend Murphy Party. It's a big name. And to summarize, many of the parties at this point, many of the families, like, it's all the Donner Party, right? But there's multiple different segments in there. There's different families all working together to make the Donner Party. Separate ones would be the Breens, the Eddies, the Kiesbergs. These are 3 examples because the Eddies and the Kiesberg joined the Breens, attempting to make it over the pass, but they found a 5-10 foot snowdrifts, right? 5 and 10 foot snowdrifts, really big snowdrifts, and they were unable to find the trail. They had to turn back to Truckee Lake, and within a day, all of the families were camped there except for the Donners, who were 5 miles, half a day's journey below them. And of course, November 4th, it began to snow again. You see the problem here, right? They were basically trapped near, where is this? Donner Lake. They were trapped near Donner Lake, and they couldn't find the trail anymore. I've seen this too before. This is actually similar to when I was up there. I remember that there was snow, right? There's a lot of snow, but you could still see the road. The problem was when it started snowing heavily because of how high up we were, the road that we were able to see became sleet. It became icy snow, chunks. And it was bad, right? It was really bad. I remember, I'm saying it like I was there with them. No, this is a different event. In the same area, okay? Because I had been here. I've told you guys before in the podcast that I was stuck near Donner Pass, right? And I remember back then, I didn't think too much of the history of this place until I was there. For the love of God, learn the history of places before you visit. It may save you, you know? There may be something there. Luckily for me, this taught me a valuable lesson. When I was stuck there, I had a way to start a fire, but no tinder or kindling. I had food, but I had no way to cook it. You see, my problem, this is where I fucked up. The difference is, this is a big party that are all gathering together. The problem is, not many of them are mountaineers, not many of them are good explorers, barely any of them know any of the native language. It's not good. It's not looking good for them. Not only that, these massive snowdrifts have now covered the trail they were on, and they're lost. They're lost in the woods, in freezing temperatures, in an early snowstorm, and things begin to look bad immediately, right? You're already huddled together. You found a single, right? You found a single cabin to sleep in, but there's 84 of you, and all of you aren't going to fit in that tiny ass cabin. Having no other choice, they essentially hunkered down. 60 members and associates of the Breen, Graves, Reed, Murphy, Kiesberg, and Eddie families set up for the winter at Truckee Lake. 3 widely separated cabins of pine logs served as their homes, with dirt floors, poorly constructed flat roofs that leaked when it rained, and, you know, just misery at this point. The Breen family occupied 1 cabin. The Eddies and the Murphys occupied another. And the Reeds and the Graves, the 3rd. The Kiesberg built a lean-to for his family against the side of the Breen cabin. If you guys don't know what a lean-to is, essentially he got a big-ass piece of wood, dropped it onto the cabin of somebody else, and put a big tarp over it. He did not know how to build anything, which is not good in this situation where you need to know how to survive. The problem was, too, I think they put their cabins way too far from each other. They really should have hunkered down way closer. Whenever there was a fault in their roofs as well, they would put oxhide or canvas on top just to try to fix it, you know, some sort of mitigation. They were desperate, okay? They were really desperate. It gets worse when you realize that these cabins, again, these poor people, they made these cabins, right? But they didn't have doors or windows. You know what they had? A big-ass hole to walk into. That's it. Here's the problem with that, okay? You're gonna get cold, no matter what. It's freezing up there. It's literally freezing up there. You got a big hole in your wall. Yeah, it's gonna be freezing. Imagine this, right? Imagine if you had no door and it was the middle of winter. You were trying to stay warm, but the door won't close because there is no door. I want to remind you all at this point that there are 29 children in this party. 29 children. I said there was a lot of children there, right? There are 29 of them. And they are now freezing at this point in time. This is just the people who were at Truckee Lake, okay? There was a lot of them, but there were some people that had made it further down the path. Unfortunately, again, the Donner Party was a big party. There were actually some people that made it way further. Now, these people, they had to construct a house. They had to construct tents as hastily as possible, housing 21 people, including, let's see here, including Miss Wolffinger, her child, and the Donner's drivers, 6 men, 3 women, and 12 children in all. Those are the ones that were separated. They were not at Truckee Lake. Okay, so we have this idea now, right? We have people at Truckee Lake, all of them hastily constructing log cabins that can barely hold anyone. One of them made a lean-to, by the way. Good job. And we now have 21 people in tents that were hastily created. November 4th comes. This is the beginning of a winter storm that lasts 8 days. 8 days of constant snow in hastily created shelters. It did not end well. By the time the party made camp, very little food remained from the supplies that Stanton had brought back at Sutter's Fort. The oxen began to die and their carcasses were frozen and stacked. Truckee Lake was not yet frozen. The big problem was that the pioneers were unfamiliar with catching lake trout. Again, this is some stuff. There's some stuff you have to learn before you go out and do stuff like this, right? This was a really, this is one of California's biggest disasters. And notably so, right? Thankfully, Eddie, the most experienced hunter, was able to kill a bear. But he had little luck after that. After he had killed a bear, there was not much else in the mountains, okay? And there was probably plenty of fish in the lake, right? The problem is, you have a bunch of people who don't know how to fish. And back then, you couldn't just go to Walmart and get a pole, right? No, you had to make your own fishing line. You have to make your own fishing line, not fish. Please, you cannot make fish and eat it. I guess you could farm it, I don't know. Anyway, you need your own line. You need your own hooks that you make and fashion out of a bone that you would actually carve out yourself. You need bait, which is not present because keep in mind, everything is frozen and dead. And something to cast it with. This is all the stuff you need, or you need a trap. The problem is, of course, they're not going to go near the water. It may not be frozen yet, but it's cold enough that they don't want to go in the water. I don't blame them. At this point, the Reed and Eddie families had lost almost everything. Margaret Reed promised to pay double when they got to California for the use of 3 oxen from the Graves and Breen families. Graves charged Eddie $25, normally the cost of 2 healthy oxen, for the carcass of an ox that had starved to death. What do you think they were going to do with it? What do you think? It's the only food they have left. At this point, they're running out of provisions and their animals are dying in the cold. People at this point started realizing that maybe we can make it if we abandon the wagons. The wagons themselves, they're a big burden. They're hard to carry. With dead oxen, they're no good, right? They're just big pieces of wood with wheels on it, and we'd have to pull them. And I don't want to do that. And we have oxen that are starving, dying. They're not supposed to be in the cold, you know? And of course, there's no food for them to eat. There's no grass. There's no spring grass anymore, okay? Everything's frozen. So people started reasoning that maybe they'd be better on foot. In small groups, they made several attempts, but each time returned defeated. Another severe storm lasting more than a week covered the area so deeply that the cattle and horses, the only remaining food, died and were lost in the snow. It's one thing if they had died and they were still frozen out there, but they were lost in snow. They were submerged so deep in snow that they were lost. You were lost. Hundreds of pounds of food. Imagine that. Your saving grace, gone. I'm telling you, the Donner Party suffered. On November 20th, Patrick Breen began keeping a diary. He concerned himself primarily with the weather, marking the storms, and how much snow had fallen. But gradually, he began to include references to God and religion in his entries. I don't blame him. Think of it this way. It's like saying, please, God, help us. You know? Just anything. The good Lord has chosen this. Many people have died. It's bad. Again, it's really bad. A lot of people miss out on a lot of these details. I didn't know the Donner Party story until I did research for this podcast episode. And now you know. Life at the lake was miserable. The cabins were cramped and filthy, and it snowed so much that people were unable to go outdoors for days. Diet soon consisted of ox hide, strips of which were boiled to make a disagreeable glue-like jelly. I did want to mention earlier, that Tasting History mentioned that he made these specific things, right? It was basically just oxhide strips. Excuse me, my stomach growled. Oxhide strips that were boiled over and over and over again until they were just barely edible, right? You could sink your teeth into it and that's it. Not much nutritional value. You'd probably get a little bit of calories from it. And it really didn't taste like anything. And I'm saying this not as someone with experience, but as someone who knows someone with experience, because Tasting History recreated this dish. It's just skin. It's just boiled skin that had been dried previously. It's not meant to be eaten. But they had no other choice. Before, keep in mind, they haven't even gotten to the cannibalism yet. We're not even there yet. This is how much they had to go through before they decided enough was enough. Boiling ox hide is, it's flavorless. You gotta chew it a lot, and then you finally have something basically representing a meal. I guess mimicking a meal is the right word. They ate the bones of the ox and the horses. They would boil them over and over again until they were nothing but a crumbly nothing. It basically just water with nothing in it. It's like a broth, but again, nothing to chew on. It's just a warm broth. All they had was water and bone. That's it. Maybe some marrow. I'm not sure what's in there, but I definitely don't want to eat horse marrow. The Murphy children began to pick apart the oxhide rug that they had, right? They would lay in front of the fireplace, roasted it on the fire, and ate it. Out of desperation. That is disgusting. And sad. But you know, when you have no fishing experience, what are you going to do, right? That's all they had. They had gotten so desperate that any single living creature would be caught and killed and eaten. The only living thing they could find were rats that would occasionally come in. They would cook them, they'd eat them, catch them, and they would feed the children because there was, again, a lot of children there. And unfortunately, with how much they were suffering and trying to wait through the winter with no food or provisions, many of them started becoming much weaker. Most of the food they would give to the children in some attempt to save their lives. At this point, Jacob Donner and three hired men had died. One of them, Joseph Reinhardt, confessed on his deathbed that he had murdered Wolffinger. George Donner's hand had become infected. Remember earlier? He had cut his hand and they thought it was superficial. At this point, it had become infected, which left four men to work at the Donner camp, only four of them. In a beautiful display of charity, what you could call charity, Margaret Reed had managed to save just enough food for a Christmas pot of soup to the delight of her children. But by January, they were facing starvation and considering eating the ox hides that served as their roof. What starvation does to a man. Margaret Reed, Virginia Reed, Milt Elliott, and the servant girl, Liza Williams, all attempted to walk out, reasoning that it would be better to try to bring food back than to sit and watch the children starve. They were gone for 4 days in the snow before they had to turn back. Their cabin was now uninhabitable. The oxhide roof served as their food supply, and the family moved in with the Breens. At this point, out of desperation, a large number of them decided to go on foot. They fashioned snowshoes with what they could, and they decided, we're just gonna try it. We're just fucking going for it, man. At this point, we're all starving and dying here. We have no choice. We have to go. And a lot of them did. They packed lightly, taking what they had, trying desperately to reach Bear Valley. Like anything at all they had, they took it to Bear Valley. You know, they made that journey. They absolutely tried their hardest, trying to find help. The hardest part about reading this is that a majority of them, the majority of the people that were traveling, trying their hardest to find help for their family, they're not accustomed to traveling in the snow. They began to become snowblind. See, in the snow, you're supposed to cover your eyes when there's it's really bright in the snow, okay? When the sun hits the snow, it absolutely magnifies into your eyes and it hurts. It really damages your retinas. At this point, they're going snowblind. More than half of them have become snowblind. And this is it. This is the part people know about. After two more days without food, Patrick Dolan proposed one of them should volunteer to die in order to feed the others. Some suggested a duel, while another account describes an attempt to create a lottery to choose a member to sacrifice. Eddie suggested that they keep moving until someone simply fell. But a blizzard forced the group to halt. Antonio, the animal handler, was the first to die. Franklin Graves was the next casualty. As the blizzard progressed, Dolan began to rant deliriously, stripping off his clothes and running into the woods. He returned shortly afterwards and died a few hours later. Not long after, possibly because Murphy was near death, some of the group began to eat flesh from Dolan's body. This is what's famous. This is what made the Donner Party famous. This is what level of desperation they reached. They started eating Dolan. He was the first to be eaten. There's a lot more to this story, but I think I could summarize it all with this little paper here. There is a first relief party, okay? Because they were rescued in drones. Now let's bring this up. Keep in mind, there's some that died en route, and I will mention when they have. Aletha Donner, age 14, rescued. Leanna Donner, age 12, rescued. George Donner Jr., age 9, rescued. William Hook, 12 years old, died en route. Margaret Reed, 32, survived. She was rescued. Virginia Reed, 12, rescued. James Reed Jr., age 6, he was rescued. Edward Breen, 13, rescued. Simon Breen, 8 years old, rescued. William Graves, 17, rescued. Eleanor Graves, 14, rescued. Lavina Graves, 12, rescued. Mary Murphy, 14, rescued. William Murphy, 10, rescued. Naomi Pike, only 2 years old, rescued. Philippine Kiesberg, what an interesting name, 23 years old, rescued. Ada Kiesberg, 3 years old, died en route. Doris Wolfinger, age 20, rescued. John Denton, 28, died en route. Noah James, age 20, rescued. Eliza Williams, 31, rescued. And the second rescue party, the second relief, Isaac Donner, age 5, died en route. Patty Reed, age 9, rescued. Thomas Reed, age 4, rescued. Whew. Patrick Breen, 51, rescued. Margaret Breen, 40, rescued. John Breen, 14, rescued. Patrick Breen Jr., rescued. James Breen, age 5, rescued. Peter Breen, age 3, rescued. Isabel Breen, age 1, rescued. Elizabeth Graves, 45, died en route. Nancy Graves, age 9, rescued. Jonathan Graves, age 7, rescued. Franklin Ward Graves Jr., age 5, died en route. Elizabeth Graves, age 1, rescued. Mary Donner, age 7, rescued. Solomon Hook, age 15, rescued. That was the Donner Party. There's a lot I left out, okay? Quite frankly, I try to make these podcast episodes as short as possible. But truth be told, the entirety of the Donner Party was just... It was intense. Learning about this made me really appreciate the modern world and how much luxury we have in this world. We can drive cars wherever we want. We can do a lot more than we could back then. Back then, they fucking suffered to get here. They struggled, okay? And the Donner Party is a great example of you really gotta prepare before you head out. You know, if you're gonna go on a trip, study that shit, okay? Seriously, any single provision you have, you know, any single bit of warning you can give or hear about, just be ready, you know, be prepared. I'm not saying be paranoid, but shit like this happens. And it's really interesting to learn about. And all these people made it to the history books. Not for the reason they thought, but they made it. A lot of the people who did make it to California, you know, they held their head up high. They made it. But they were definitely traumatized afterwards. That's going to do it for this episode of the Meatweed Podcast. Thank you all for listening. I'll be back next week with normally scheduled programming. I just wanted to talk about this specific issue because Donner Pass is currently, it was snowed in, and now I see it's open, which is good because I was worried that this would happen again with significantly more people. All right, see you guys next week. And remember to respect the dead. I know a lot of people, I saw a lot of people on Twitter, really don't fucking do that. It's in my culture to do that, okay? Respect the dead. Goodbye.